Exodus chapter 1, and reading at verse number 6 through 14. It says, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." Now that's a very interesting little phrase there, isn't it? And how often we've seen that in different times and in different lands and in different places. The more they afflicted them, the more God blessed them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve with rigor. Going on now to chapter 6 and at verse number 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." We know that God will add his blessing to this reading of his precious and holy word. Quite a number of years ago, in fact it was, I would say, in the 70s, an aeroplane was hijacked in mid-flight by Palestinian terrorists. They ordered the pilot to land the plane in Entebbe Airport in Uganda. And when it was landed, all the passengers was taken off the aeroplane and brought into the terminal building. And the terrorists began to separate them. They looked at their passports, and everyone who had a passport that belonged to the state of Israel were put on one side. All the other nationalities were put together on another side. Eventually, all the other nationalities were free and allowed to go. But those of Jewish passports were kept in the terminal building, and a demand was made of the government in Israel that unless certain terrorists were released from prison, then systematically they would begin to execute those hostages. And so the Israeli government had to move quickly, and a plane left Tel Aviv with a cracked squad of commandos on it. Under the cover of darkness, it made its way by flying as low as it possibly can to Entebbe, landed on the outskirts of the airport. Special cars were brought with them. They changed into the uniform of the Uganda government, got into these cars, drove up to the building in which the hostages were held, and managed to release all the hostages with the exception of one lady who had been taken to the hospital. It was indeed a tremendous rescue mission. And this story was headline news across the media. It was beamed to all the world. Books have been written about it. A film has been made about it. It was a tremendous feat of rescue and liberation for those people that were held hostage. Here in the book of Exodus, we have a story of a great rescue mission. How that God's people, who were held captive, who were under bondage, how that God brought them out from under their bondage and delivered them from a mighty tyrant and set them gloriously free. And I just want to pass on a few thoughts about what we have read about here tonight in these early chapters of the book of Exodus and about this great rescue mission that happened even many years before what happened in Uganda. And there's three things that I just want to leave with you tonight. First of all, we see here people in bondage. People in bondage. We see people with burdens. And then we see people who were brought out of their bondage and from under their burdens. So it's three simple headings, three little thoughts about what we have read here this evening. First of all, people in bondage. This word bondage is used quite a number of times throughout this book of Exodus concerning the children of Israel in Egypt. It's referred to not only in Exodus, but also in the book of Deuteronomy. But here in Exodus, we find it in verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage." In chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage." In chapter 6 and in verse 5 and 6, we find it again. It says, "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptians, kept in bondage, and have remembered my covenant." And he says, "I will bring you out from under your bondage of the Egyptians, and will rid you out of your bondage, and I will redeem you." My dear friends, the word bondage is continually before us in the book. These people were in bondage. They were held captive by a wicked tyrant, a great power. They were prisoners. They were helpless and powerless and hopeless. They were in bondage. And you know, as we read through the scriptures, there are many people who were in bondage. Different kinds of bondage. I think of the man with the legion of demons that we read about in the Gospels. Here was a man who was possessed with a legion of demons. Over 600 demons had taken possession of this man. Here is a man whose life was controlled by Satan. He was held in bondage by Satan. He went about the countryside, in the hills, cutting himself with stones, calling out. No man could tame him. Here was a man whose life was being controlled by the devil. And you know, as we look out into the world tonight, we see people, and Satan has taken control of their life. Remember a woman, and she suffered from an issue of blood in 12 years. She had sought a cure for her disease, for her illness. And the more time she tried to find a cure, rather she grew worse. And here's a woman, and she's in bondage to disease. You remember the man who was born blind in John chapter 9? And here's a man, and he had never seen the light of day. He had never been able to look into his mother or father's face. He had never seen the beauty of nature. He had never looked up into the blue sky and saw the wonder of God's creation. And here's a man who was in bondage to darkness. Dear friends, there's so many people we read about in the Bible who were in bondage. In bondage. But I might surprise you to say tonight to some of you that you're in bondage. You're in bondage. And you might say to me, how on earth am I in bondage? I'm able to move about freely. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. I can live as I like. If I want to go on holiday somewhere, I go. I've no problem getting out of the country. No problem getting in. I'm able to live life as I please. How on earth am I in bondage as you say I am? Dear friends, there's many people tonight and they're in bondage to sin. Bondage to sin. The Bible tells us that we were born in sin. We remember the story of Peter in Acts chapter 12, how that he was taken, put in prison, chained. He was in danger for his life because the king had determined to bring him forth the next day and slay him. And here's a man who was chained, he was powerless, he was held captive, he was in danger of death, and he was in bondage. And you know, there's many people in the spiritual sense, and they're in bondage tonight because of sin. Sin holds people in bondage. It keeps people in the prison house of sin. You know, there's folks tonight, and they're in bondage to sinful habits. Some people are in bondage to drink. They cannot give it up. It controls their life. How many lives have been ruined because of excess in drink? How many marriages have been broken up? How many families have been devastated when a loved one has been killed in a road accident by a drunken driver who's over the excess, and there's people tonight and they're in bondage to drink? Some are in bondage to drugs. They don't know where they're going to get their next fix, and they'll rob any old age pensioner who's in their line of sight just to satisfy that longing for those drugs. Many people are in bondage to cigarettes. You see them standing outside all the hospitals that you go to. Some people are in bondage to filthy language. Dirty language to them is just a matter of speech. Some people are in bondage to telling lies. My friends, sin brings us into bondage. And there's folks tonight, and they're held captive by sinful habits. Sinful habits. Some folks are in the bondage of fear. You know, one of the main reasons why folks are not saved, I believe, is because of fear. Because of fear. And I think that the Bible would agree with that, because there's a little phrase over in the book of Proverbs, and it says this: the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man, it's like a trap that Satan leaves. People are in fear of many things. There's folks in fear of disease. There's folks in fear of so many things, fear for the future, fear of death. But there's many people tonight, and they're in the bondage of fear. They know they need Christ. They know that they're not saved, and they need to be saved. And my God comes and speaks to that person and convicts them of their sin and shows them the wonder of God's grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How that through that mighty finished work at Calvary, that God comes out in grace to them and offers them salvation full and free, and all they need to do is take it by faith. Maybe you have sat in the meeting often, and you've pondered and thought about coming to the Savior and bowing the knee and getting saved. And then fear has come in. And you said to yourself, how will I face my workmates in the morning? What will I tell my wife or my husband? What will I tell the family? Will I lose my friends, the ones that I associate with now? And there's many people tonight, and the thing that's keeping them back from the Savior is the fear of man. Is that what's keeping you back tonight? Is that what's keeping you from coming to the Lord? The fear of man. People are in the bondage of sinful habits, the bondage of fear. And my, there's those in the bondage of tradition. I remember Paul writing to the Galatians, and in the first chapter, he's giving his testimony here, one of the places in the New Testament where we find Paul giving his testimony. And he says in chapter 1, verse 14, my being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. My followed the tradition of his fathers. And you know, there's folks tonight, and tradition is more important to them than truth. It has been the tradition of their fathers to do that. It has been the tradition of their fathers to go along that line, to go to that church. It has been the tradition of the family, to be members of that place. My dear friends, don't be held bondage by tradition tonight. And just as Pharaoh sought to keep the Israelites in bondage, so Satan desires to keep you in bondage tonight. I wonder, am I speaking to someone tonight and you're being held captive by the devil at his will, that you're in the prison house of sin and the chains of sin are around you tonight, people in bondage? Second thing we see in this great rescue story is people with burdens. Pharaoh increased their burdens. They came to him, remember, and asked him to alleviate their burdens, to lighten them a bit. But instead, he increased their burdens. And my, to make life more difficult, he refused to give them straw to make brick. And instead of having the straw brought to them to make brick, they had to go now and find straw for themselves. And the people in bondage were people who were carrying burdens, heavy burdens. There was no rest. There was no peace for them from their burdens. Their taskmasters made life miserable. They added to their burdens. And I'm sure you've heard the saying that Satan is a hard taskmaster. And sin is a hard taskmaster. And friends, today, there's not only people who have who are in bondage, the bondage of sin, but now we're living in days when there's people and they're carrying burdens. Carrying burdens. Some are burdened by the guilt of sin. I remember when I was a young fella and when God was speaking to me and convicting me of my sin. Friends, you know, I was afraid to go to sleep at night. I was afraid, in case I missed God's salvation, in case death would come before another day would rise. And I was burdened because I knew I had sinned. I was guilty before God. I was a guilty sinner and I felt guilty and I felt dirty. And there's folks tonight and they're burdened by the guilt of sin. The guilt of sin. And dear friends, there's folks tonight and they're burdened because of the power of sin. They can't get free from it. They've tried to turn over a new life. They've tried this, that, and the other thing. But they're burdened not only because of the guilt of sin and because of the power of sin, but because of the consequences of sin. They know that the wages of sin is death. And they've no rest and no peace and no joy and no freedom. And all that we might pray to God again for those days when God would send deep conviction of sin upon the people that live in our housing estates and the people that live in our land. Back in the days of revival here in Ulster, my dear friends, people broke down under conviction of sin because their hearts were heavy. And if you're here tonight, and you're burdened because of your sin, because of your danger. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Dear burdened soul, there's rest for the weary tonight. Dear friend, there's peace with God tonight. And there's an invitation that comes from the Son of God. And what an invitation it is. Come unto me. Not come unto the church or come unto any association or anything else. Come unto me, he says. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We see here people in bondage. And people with burdens. And then in this great rescue mission, we see people who were brought, or people who were bought. It says here in chapter 6, my God says, verse 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." Man, this was good news, wasn't it? These people that cried to God in their affliction, that cried to God as they were afflicted by Pharaoh and his taskmasters, as they labored in bondage and under these burdens, and here's the word of the Lord coming to them, and he says, "I will redeem you. And we'll bring you out." Man, that was a message of good news. He says, "I will deliver you. I will set you free. I'll deliver you by the payment of a price." We were, the other Sunday night when I was here, we were thinking about the great theme of redemption through the Bible. And man, that's what redemption is all about. It's being brought out. It's being delivered by the payment of a price. And you remember the story
how God instructed Moses to tell the people that there was a final judgment coming across the land of Egypt. It was the judgment upon the firstborn. And he said to the people of Israel, "My, take a lamb and keep it for a certain length of time. Make sure the lamb is without blemish and without spot. And then on a certain day, take that lamb and kill it. And take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the door." And God's message was, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Or I will hover over you and put my covering wings around you so that the destroying angel will not come in unto you." And my dear friends, that's what they did. And that night, God delivered his people out of bondage with a mighty deliverance through the power of his arm and through the power of the shed blood. God brought them out of bondage and from under danger by the shed blood of this Passover lamb. And you know, friends, the application of that to us today is that there's folks today and they're in bondage. Neither under the bondage of sin, they're held captive by sin. And Satan doesn't want to let you go. He wants to hold on to you because he wants to ruin you. He wants to damn you. And there's folks tonight under the burdens. My, they're carrying heavy burdens and they've no peace. But my Jesus Christ, he's our Passover lamb. Thank God we have a Passover lamb. I was reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and here's what he said in verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and delivering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." Dear friends, tonight, Christ is our Passover lamb. He's our lamb. He is the lamb that was chosen, the selected lamb. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. What to do? To redeem them that were under the law. To redeem them and deliver men and women who were under the bondage of sin and who are burdened by sin. And he sent him to redeem them, to bring them out of the prison house. And my, Christ was the lamb that was chosen. He was the crucified lamb that went to Calvary. He was the lamb for sinners slain, who shed his precious blood on yonder tree and paid the ransom price for sin and rose again the third day in victory and in triumph, and who lives tonight at God's right hand, a living Savior who's able to deliver you and who's able to set you free. Now this book says that him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And what Christ offers men and women and young people tonight is freedom. Freedom. People are looking for freedom today. My dear friends, there's freedom from sin. Here in the book of Exodus, we have one of the great stories in the Bible. The story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Here is the antitype of this story. And we have one of the greatest stories that was ever told. The story of the gospel. there someone here tonight and you know that you're in bondage, the bondage of sin? Is there someone here tonight who's burdened because of their sin? Dear friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus wants to deliver you, and he can deliver you, and he can save you, and he can take away the burdens and bring peace and freedom and power and meaning and blessing and satisfaction into your life. May God speak to your heart tonight if you're not saved. May God move in your life by his Spirit. May you taste the salvation that he alone can offer through his finished work at the place called Calvary. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's just bow in a word of prayer tonight before we sing. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son. We praise you for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we praise you that, Lord, he is our Savior and our shelter. We thank you for everyone here tonight who's under his blood, who's depending on that shed blood. And we pray for those tonight who as yet have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh God, that they might taste, that they might come, and that they might receive him for his name.